Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our full year 2013 results. Let me introduce a few notes, you know, then the results that my colleagues are going to comment on. 2013 has been a very important year, as you know. It's a milestone for our group. We accomplished many things. Probably the most important one is the demerger with the travel retail. We delivered this demerger in just 9 months. It's an important achievement, and the market received very well this demerger, so we're very pleased. It's giving an understanding of the two different strategies for two different businesses and unleashing really the potential of the two businesses. From an operational standpoint, we delivered our results on targets as we promised. In North America, where we saw a good comparable growth, improving EBITDA margins, and on my left, there is Silvano Del Negro that you already know, is now here in a different role. He's the Chief Operating Officer of the United States, been appointed 2 months ago, so he's here to comment on the U.S. results. Tom Frincki is our CEO for North America, is on the line. In Europe, moving on, we are getting a little bit better, little by little, you know. You saw the numbers, so the situation is improving. In Italy, that is the main market for us in Europe, we see some signs of recovery. We started to roll out our new concepts. We started to roll out also our new program called FP1, that you are familiar with. So it's starting to really get a little bit better. Last but not least, there are the new, what we call the new geographies, you know, that are led by the division led by Walter Scheib, that is not here with us today. We are developing the businesses in this division. We won 8 contracts this year for approximately 150 million euros of sales. A couple of contracts in Indonesia, Surabaya and Bali, Helsinki, Copenhagen, Abu Dhabi, Düsseldorf, so a bunch of good wins, really. In a nutshell, we are following the path of our strategy that we outlined in September. The last thing that I would like to comment on is that, talking about value, I'm sure you are interested in the outcome of the Italian motorway renewals, you know, that is ongoing right now. I cannot comment on the outcome yet, because there is no outcome, so the process is still going on. So there isn't an official outcome. What I can share with you is that we had a very focused and targeted approach. And what I can share is also what we will do when this process is over, you know, basically. When I say targeted approach, I means that we were really laser-pointed, focused, and we only bid for 50% of the 40 locations that were up for renewal, so. Nearly, just to give you a number, you know, the sales that were expiring were around 200 million. So really, we targeted the point of sales that we consider the best and the one with the highest potential, really. We want to have a very focused and targeted approach. And again, Italy, it won't be just about rationalization, but it will be also about focusing the opportunities I said before, and also clustering the offer. We are aiming to improve our penetration on traffic in Italy. And now, Ezio, that is our Chief Marketing Officer, is going to walk us through this new approach for Italy. Thank you, Ezio.
Thank you, Gian Mario, and good afternoon. Today, I'd like to update you on the journey of a renewal. I talked to you about our last meeting in Amsterdam in September, at the Investor Day we had at the Prato. If we cannot tell you more about the renewal process and the Italian tender, as Gian Mario was speaking about, I can tell you about new concept we are implementing and about the success we have had with concept we recently have been rolling out. As I said in Amsterdam, two are the pillars of our transformation process. and these two pillars will help us to enhance our performances in Italy and in Europe. One is focused on the offer and on the concept, and the other is focused on our production model. The first one, the one about offering concept, is based on clusterization, as Gian Mario anticipated, of point of sales and refurbishment of Italian outlets in the first phase. Clusterization means to choose and to realize the right format in relation with traffic and with point of sales location. This activity will be also very important because will lead to a reduction of CapEx and OpEx on the point of sales level due to the reduction of the number of equipment, due to the reduction of the number of concept. And this will also bring advantages in terms of OpEx because less concept means also less OpEx related. The second pillar, as I was saying, is about the industrialization of our production. But first, let's get started with the offer and the concept. Transformation we are going through will interest about 90 stores in the next 3 years in Italy. We are really confident we will make it. Yes, it will take probably a little bit of time. But the renewal process Gian Mario was telling us about will give us the possibility to roll out it in Italy. And we also are already planning to transfer those innovations in the rest of Europe, where we will soon start some pilots about. Clusterization means that we identified mainly three categories of point of sales. The small one that are will be and are mainly based on Acafé brand, and the offer on those stores will be an offer based on coffee and a light offer of snack and food with an important food retailization activity. The medium one with an umbrella brand that will be Autogrill, made mainly of proprietary brands with one or two maximum food and beverage format per store, and a food retailization part. And finally, what we call the icons, so the big one, where clearly the umbrella brand will be Autogrill, and when we will use, where we will use our top proprietary and third parties brand with an all-inclusive approach to service. We have a very clear strategy for each cluster of point of sales. In the small, we will simplify the offer to target travelers who take a short break, while introducing some elements of comfort and food retailization. In the medium one, we will have new and attractive format, we will speak a little bit about later, with service and quality, while reducing operational cost, welcoming a long-haul customer, and those stores will be adapted to the new traffic flow in Italy. And finally, the icon. The icon has a strategy to create a real pole of attraction, and this is done to overcome the overcrowding of Italian network with stores that are able to attract customers from the competition, means from the service area that come before or that come after them. Mainly those are our biggest stores. This activity will be very visible because we will renew about a third of the network in the 3 years, but much more in terms of volumes with the refurbishment of the biggest and the core store we have. We are basing what I'm saying and what we are doing on tried and tested new stores. Villoresi and Bistro in Milan Central Railway Station are the two examples. Those two stores have been a clear success, in fact. Villoresi sales in 2013 reached 10.3 million of euro with 1.4 million contact for the full year. That means more than 3,800 customers per day. Bistro, which is a much smaller one, realized in 8 months of opening, 2.5 million of sales, with 500,000 customer. Means, again, more than 2,000 customer per day. But let me focus now on medium and anchor store, which will profit from all the experience that we made in past months in Villoresi and Bistro. Again, Villoresi Bistro, remember, was the two store, and I'd like to underline it, that represent both the labs for innovation and the direction we want to take in reviewing our offer. In this slide, here you have a couple of examples on how the Italian network first and European one lately will change. You see in this slide, made with the renderings we used in tenders for the Italian motorway, you can see an example of clusterization of the offer. Here you see two proprietary concept, Storia di Caffè and Tapenade, that, by the way, is a concept that was developed initially in U.S. Where before we had three concept, with the Ciao restaurant, that today is no more suitable for the traffic flow. In this way, we arrived to simplify the offer at the point of sale level. Storia di Caffè and Tapenade, it's a mix of our traditional know-how, coffee, and innovation, with a restaurant in which not only the design, you can see it's up to date, and where the food is inspired by all new tendencies and our experience with the University of Pollenzo, the University of Slow Food, that we are having. But also where the service is completely different. No more cafeteria-style trays when you enter in the restaurant, but a one-to-one service with your tray that is composed by our associates and delivered to you complete before you check out. It's a major change. In this other slide, you can see another combination of concept that allow, again, to differentiate and meet different needs. This is a new store in Medesano West area, recently opened up and running, where you find the Spizzico formula and the new concept called Territory. Again, two proprietary concept recently developed, especially for Territory. Both coming from the experience and the pilot carried out in the past month. The new Territory is based on what we have done at Villoresi, and it's a confirmation, again, that the cafeteria style is over. It's based on local flavor to emphasize the quality of local ingredients, and is also based, again, on a one-to-one style of service. In those two examples, give you also the flavor about how we will change our competitiveness with distinctive and unique concept able to differentiate from competition. I'm sure you have not missed how much competitor stores look like ours today. New concept will allow to differentiate where competitors copied all our old concept. And if today a customer may not realize sometime they are entering in an autogrill store, tomorrow they will see it very clearly again. But what about the big stores, the ones we call icon? Again, something totally new, based on the experience we have made in this case with Bistro concept. I would say an encompassing, unique, and distinctive identity. More important, all the innovation in food and beverage made and successfully tested in Bistro, you will see them and become the core of the offer of the new big stores. Homemade bread, for instance, and pizza, and homemade pasta for Italy, but local sourcing everywhere, and all the facilities and the service you have already seen in Bistro and Villoresi. Spaces, you see the picture, to relax, but also to work. Spaces for families and for professionals. And I'm happy to say that the good news is that it works. It works, and the customer satisfaction score recorded in Villoresi and Bistro in this past year overcome by far the average of the motorways and the rest of the railway network. And even more, those scores reach level of excellence. So beside economical performances, this is the demonstration that our innovation works very well with customers. And we observed the same trend in the overall score of the customer satisfaction across any element of the offer and the service we surveyed. Then, now, after having seen the pillars of the offer renewal for Italy, let's now have a look on the other part of the important innovation. The project is called SP1 and refers to the second pillar of the transformation I was talking about, the production model. SP1 sole raison d'etre is to enhance efficiency of the back of the house with the new production model while keeping our very high quality standards. No bridge about quality. We will continue to control the quality of supplier and raw materials, and we will enhance our quality control referring to industrial players instead to execute it only at store level. I would say that on a much larger scale, just to give you some example, on a much larger scale, it's something similar to what other players like Pret-a-Manger or Simply Food are doing, where the great big production center and distribution to stores having products of a greater quality. But again, a little bit more in detail, what SP1 is. Traditionally, we are cooking our recipe and producing our sandwiches or our product in the store, starting from raw materials coming from supplier or from our distribution center. Now, we will outsource the production. The new production model is much more than a production facility or a new production facility. It brings new supplier with new technology able to reach with the same quality a longer life of product, adding flexibility to the old system. A redesigned supply chain and a new logistic especially designed for the product. And more important, a new organization at store level to transform part of the production time in service time and customer care. Advantages are very, very clear and proved by a long test phase we started 6 months ago in a number of stores, with significant results, both in terms of economics and in customer satisfaction, we measured again through customer surveys. What SP1 deliver is an increased store cash flow, coming from the favorable balance among an higher cost of good versus the actual one due to the outsource production, but a lower labor cost for in-store production activity, a lower cost coming from waste for the better possibility to be flexible, and a better flexibility in general to allow to follow the customer traffic at store level. We ran a test in 7 stores in the last 8 months, representative of the entire Italian network, and measured impact comparing those sites with other similar ones continuing to work traditionally. The result is that the test store show an increase of store cash flow of 320 base points for the actual Ciao, so the free flow restaurant, and 300 base points for the actual snacks and the cafe. We plan to roll out it in 2014. Material advantages will start to be seen in 2015. So please do not expect to see those results fully reflected in 2014. Obviously, all the concepts I showed before are conceived and designed to accept SP1 process and products. So, in conclusion, we have a clear plan to generate traffic and to generate new sales and traffic penetration. We will reshape, as we say in Amsterdam, our model and announce it through innovation. keeping our objective, sales and traffic penetration. Two are the pillars of the transformation, a new range of concept, and the new industrial model. On both, we are recording nice successes. Clearly, it will not happen overnight, but we clearly see the potential also beyond the Italian border. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ezio. Now, Silvano, as representation of the United States and actually North America, sorry. Tom Frick is on the line just to answer to your question because he's in the U.S., but also in a remote location, so he can't lead the presentation. There are two points of attention, very interesting point of attention in this presentation. One is the strong growth, really, but it is not fully reflected in sales in North America. The second one is the evolution of the margin during the year. That is another very interesting point, in my opinion.
Okay. Thank you, Gian Mario. Good afternoon. Before I start, and so we are all on the same page, I have to say that all the figures I refer to in this section refer only to the food and beverage North American business. Exclude retail, that, as you know, has been sold to World Duty Free Group, as well as the international business, since all the trends I'm representing have impact only on the North American business. Now, 2013 has been a turning year for HMS. As I will explain later, we have overcome many challenges and achieved great success. First, HMS has been able to post significant top-line growth, around 3% in a sluggish environment. Most importantly, the company has been able to offset the impact of fracturing on some of our major contracts, as well as to compensate the loss of one contract, the Maryland Turnpike. Even more striking is the comparable growth. Sales growth in airports has been almost 9% versus traffic up only 1.5%, and motorway up 7.2% with traffic slightly negative. 2013 has been also a great success in terms of development. More than $2 billion retained in terms of portfolio value between renewal and new wins. Among the new wins, I would say I will mention the contract of Fort Lauderdale, a new airport for HMS, where HMS will be the only food and beverage operator. Third element, and very important, margin improvement. North American business posted a 70 basis points improvement in EBITDA margin, reverting the trend of the last 7 years when we saw a significant margin erosion. As you know, HMS retail sale to World Duty Free Group has been completed, and this allows HMS to focus exclusively on the food and beverage operations. 2013 has also been the year in which a new food procurement provider, Foodbuy, has been selected and transition phase has started. The transition phase will be over in the first quarter 2014, and we confirm our target of savings of $5 million this year. However, I will say that 2013 results comes from two different components. The first one is what we call transition contracts in airports. Transition contracts are the ones that have been impacted by a tendering process and where HMS used to be either the sole operator or the main one. As I said before, HMS has been very successful in development, but in some cases, we ended up with retaining only part of the original business. As an example, in Atlanta, we win two out of five packages up for tender, which was, by the way, the maximum allowed to be awarded to one operator. Although successful, HMS has been able to retain 80% of its original business. The second component, what we call airport stable contracts, so contracts that have not been impacted by any renewal process. In these airports, we perform very strongly, posting high growth and better margins. Among the stable contracts, we'd like to mention Charlotte, where we recorded a 13% growth in sales and a double-digit growth in margin. Under the current contract framework, the lender as well takes advantage of this growth, making it a clear win-win in the industry. Now, let's start to analyze a bit more the impact of fracturing and what we call one-off concepts opening. During our September Investor Day, actually, Tom talked to you about the fracturing process happening in the airport U.S. market. In some cases, airports decide to divide the current contract in two or more packages, imposing at the same time a cap on the possibility to win, as it happened in Atlanta. In four accounts, LAX, Los Angeles, Atlanta, San Diego, and Phoenix, HMS had to reduce its position with a significant impact on sales. So sales went down from $310 million in 2012 to $250 million in 2013, with a market share drop in these airports by 25%. This reduction obviously has been detrimental for our business. Loss of scale, branch costs now are impacting a smaller sale base, either more exposure to traffic shift among terminal and or delay in flight deployment in new terminals. As an example, as we see before, Atlanta, one of the terminals that has been awarded to HMS is the newly built international terminal. Currently, this concourse is still operating at 40% of its capacity, hence slowing down the growth of our business. We have seen similar impact with different characteristics in the other airports, like, as I said before, LAX, San Diego, and Phoenix. While fracturing has been a negative, has had a negative impact on HMS, it seems that it hasn't brought any big advantage to our other competitors. We see them struggling in opening the new units and facing problems due to their lack of scale and operational expertise compared to us. So we believe that after this transition, HMS will come away stronger than competitors. By the way, fracturing is not a new phenomenon in the U.S. market. We faced it in the 90s, actually, in one of our biggest accounts, Chicago Air. In 1997, we had a renewal process, and HMS so reduced the sales by 15%, but even more important, we reduced our store cash flow by almost 50%. But since then, HMS has been able to rebuild the business and create one of the biggest accounts in terms of sales EBITDA of our portfolio. Furthermore, whilst we recognize the importance of fracturing, we can say that fracturing, the bulk of the fracturing is now behind us, and we can now build on a much more stable sales base. Besides fracturing, we had to face another important challenge in 2013 due to the ramp-up of the new one-off units. Starting from the fourth quarter 2012, HMS opened more than 50 new units, what we call new one-off concepts. These concepts are generally high street restaurants that bring the local flavor of the city to the airports. The challenges of these new off concepts are many. The operational complexity is generally higher compared to national brands like Starbucks and BK. They are less standardized. Menus are generally broader, which does not comply with the need of speed of service in the airport environment. As a consequence, these concepts require a specific approach and a ramp-up time that usually is longer than national brands. But the trend, as you can see, has been constantly improving, showing a steady growth in store cash flow before rent. This improvement has been achieved through many levers, mostly menu simplification, reducing food costs and speeding up service time, operational reengineering, adapting process and staff scheduling to the new airport environment. We are confident this trend will continue, as our team is more and more accustomed in dealing with these one-off concepts, finding new creative solutions to problems, and also standardizing back-of-the-house operations. In airports like Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, which were heavily impacted by these new openings, we already see sign of recovery and significant improvement in sales and margins. Now, notwithstanding the impact of fracturing and new one-off concepts, as I said, HMS results have been very positive. I would say thanks to the overperformance of what we call the airport stable counters. The airport stable counters are the ones that, I remind you, have not been impacted by renewal process, and they've been performing very strongly, posting a top-line growth of 11.2% and even more striking, an EBITDA growth of 21.8%. At the base of this strong performance, there are many commercial and operational initiatives focus on both revenue growth and margin improvements. Different projects, one is the LEAP project focused on labor scheduling, which is helping HMS to reduce over and understaffing and driving revenue growth without increasing the number of associates. So 2014, we believe, will continue on the path starting 2013. Most of the fractionation impact has been absorbed in last year, and this year we will focus on commercial initiatives to boost both capture as well as leveraging our P&L structure. On a final note, we are very proud to announce that once more, and for the seventh year in a row, HMS has been recognized as the best food and beverage operator in North America at the recent ARN conference in Orlando. Another significant recognition of the growing and excellent path HMS is on. In conclusion, 2013 has been a turning point for us. We've been able to reverse the downward trend in EBITDA margin recorded in the last 7 years. The transition contract impact has been more than offset by our airport stable contracts, resulting in sales growth and improved margins. Therefore, we are on track on our medium-term target. And with this, I return to Germania. Thank you.
Thank you, Silvano. And now, I didn't forget we are here for the numbers, so also.
Thank you, and good afternoon. As Mario said at the beginning, in 2013 we delivered a result in line with our guidance. So let's go through first our performance in the last quarter, and then I will recap on the full year. In Q4, sales generated by HMS host in the territories they manage, that is North America, Schiphol Airport in Europe, and several contracts in Asia-Pacific airports, declined by 0.2% compared to same period of last year. Such a reduction in sales has been exclusively determined by the disposal in September 2013 of the retail operations to World Duty Free in connection with the demerger. And in fact, in the last quarter 2012, those assets of U.S. retail generated about $56 million. So if you exclude the U.S. retail sales from last quarter 2012, the growth of HMS host sales in Q4 would have been 7.2%. Our comparable F&B sales in U.S. airport grew by 13.2% compared to a traffic which grew by 2.2%. Similarly, our U.S. motorways comparable sales grew by 11.1% in the quarter compared to the traffic that grew by 0.7%. About 50% of such massive overperformance has been generated by the different calendar of the last quarter in the 2 years, which assigned the supplementary week to 2013 compared to 2012. Even discounting that impact of the supplementary week, you see that the overperformance toward traffic has been very significant. And an opposite effect on our sales number in the quarter has been caused by the fracturing. Silvano has explained to you before what the fracturing is, which has subtracted an amount of sales that we estimate in about $21 million to the quarter, with respect to those to what those fractured contracts generated in the last quarter 2012. As for the sale, the disposal of the U.S. retail has been the only factor leading to the reduction in absolute terms of the DVDA generated by HMS host in Q4. In fact, if we exclude the U.S. retail contribution, the HMS host EBITDA would have remained stable around $78 million, both in Q4 2013 and 12. The fracturing of contract has had a negative impact of about $10 million on the EBITDA of the quarter. Loss of margin on those contracts is particularly high. As you have heard from Silvano, this is due to lower efficiency and scale on the fractured location, and the new concept that has substituted the old ones, which we are still learning from. Margins of all the other contracts have grown positively in the quarter, confirming the good results achieved in the first 9 months of the year. Excluding the impact of both the disposed U.S. retail and the fracturing, EBITDA has grown in the quarter by more than 13% compared to the same period of previous year. So if you consider the results we have already achieved in the non-fractured contracts, And what Silvano told you about the Chicago fracture in 1997, that is our ability to turn the fracturing around with the time, you may see that we have here a significant opportunity, despite having a negative impact at the beginning. Now, moving to Europe and starting with Italy, our sales performance in Q4 has been slightly better compared to the previous quarters, although still negative. On motorways, on Italian motorways, sales fell by 3.6%, which is an improvement if you think that in the first 9 months, sales were down 6.1%. Having said that, we still underperformed traffic, which in the last quarter of 2013 was negative by 0.5%. Sales also declined in other channels we operate in Italy, although at a lower rate than motorways. The 13 million or lower sales in the quarter have resulted in 4.7 million less of our Italian EBITDA, with the usual flow-through of around 35% on lost sales. Looking at other European countries, we have had an increase in sales of approximately 8% compared to the previous year. This is mainly due to new openings in Belgium, Germany, and UK. The rest of Europe, we generated an EBITDA of around 8.8 million in the quarter, a huge increase compared to 2.5 million in the same period of last year. This is due mainly to higher sales and strict management of the operations, and only in part to a positive one-off of 2.7 million euro due to the reorganization of the pension scheme in Switzerland. So these figures in Q4 have taken us to the overall consolidated numbers of 2013, with sales of 3,985 million euro and an EBITDA of 314 million. Below the EBITDA line, the total of amortization of fixed assets and write-offs of tangible and intangible assets has amounted to around 226 million euro, almost the same amount of 2012. Financial charges decreased by around 20 million compared to 2012 due to lower debt and the amortization of the interest rate derivative, the termination of the amortization of the interest rate derivatives we unwind in 2011 when we refinance our bank facilities. Now moving to taxes, please consider that the 2012 provision to corporate taxes was lowered by a positive one-off of 12.5 million related to the booking of a corporate tax credit in Italy. So net-net, the net income for food and beverage before minorities was 8.3 million euro compared to 7.4 million in 2012. As you know, in 2013, we booked the net result of the travel retail business for the first 9 months of the year, that is, until the date of effectiveness of the demerger. This has brought our total net income for the year before minorities to 99.4 million euro. Last year, it was 110 million euro, but in 2012, we consolidated, of course, 12 months instead of 9 of the travel retail results. So now moving to the balance sheet and the cash flow statement, net financial indebtedness at the end of 2013 is 673 million, compared to close to 1.5 billion at the end of 2012. Of course, the merger has had the lion's share of the reduction in debt, as it has resulted in deconsolidation of the World Duty Free Group debt, which was exceeding 560 million euro at the end of 2012, and the payment of a dividend of 220 million euro from World Duty Free Group to Autogrill prior to the demerger. The cash flow generation for the year has been positive by 21.4 million compared to a cash absorption of 20 million in 2012. Included in the 2013 cash flow is a net inflow of 58 million euro, which results from the mentioned disposal of the US retail and the acquisition of our stake in our new company, new operations in Vietnam. The cash flow generation for the year would have been much better if we hadn't had the very negative dynamics of our working capital, which absorbed 88 million in 2013 compared to an absorption of 17 million in the previous year. The reduction of the Italian sales and the payout of the 3 years incentive plan for the management are the main items of higher absorption. Now, moving to 2013, let's see how the year started in terms of sales. For sake of good comparison, we have excluded by the numbers of 2012 the sales generated by the U.S. retail disposed business. What we comment are our weekly sales as of March the 2nd, that is the week 9. And in the first 9 weeks of 2013, the group sales were up by 3.7% over the same period of the previous year. HMS Host performance has been positive and up by 4.9%. Sales in the airport managed by HMS Host, and I remind you that they are the U.S. airport, the Canada airport, Schiphol, and several Asian Pacific airports, grew by 6.3%, notwithstanding the severe weather that hit the east coast of North America. Just to give you a measure of the impact of bad weather, consider that we experienced cancellation of over 50,000 flights, almost five times the number of canceled flights in a typical winter season. But notwithstanding this impact, you see that the strong performance that we achieved in the normal weeks, the ones that have not been affected by the bad weather, by the snowstorms, has allowed us to reach this important growth of 6.3% as a whole in the airport. The bad weather has had an impact also on our HMS performance on motorways, because it was particularly, the bad weather was particularly bad in the Ontario Turnpike. In motorways in U.S., we saw a decline, but that was limited to 0.6%. So very limited decline considering the special situation. In Italy, sales have declined by 1.3% compared to 2013, but in this case, this has been due, in fact, to different perimeters, to the closure of point of sales that we did last year. Because on motorways, our sales in the first 9 weeks of 2013 grew by 0.9%. That is approximately in line with the first indication we got on the evolution of the traffic in the period. In the rest of Europe, sales grew by 8.5%, thanks to new openings and improvement in economic environment. As usual, we prefer to wait until after Easter to give you the guidance, the quantitative guidance for the year, as we need to see whether early data turn into trends that we can rely on. Having said that, we can anticipate our strategic objective for the year, which are deliver growth in sales and margins in US, renew the Italian concession currently under bid in line with the targeted approach and the discipline Gianmario was referring to before, implement the performance-enhancing project that Ezio described to you, and keep strengthening our contract portfolio. With that, I'll hand over to Gianmario for his closing remarks, and then we are prepared to take your questions.
I think, you see on this chart, our main target for 2014, growth in sales and margin in North America, HMS Host. Renewal concession and implementation of the improvements, all the things that Ezio was referring to, and of course continuing to develop the business. I think these are the three main objectives that we have this year. I see. Thank you for your attention. I think we can start with the Q&A session now. Looks like we did a good job, because because there are no questions.
or to void.
Or to void, I don't know.
Stefano Lusti again, Equita. If I look to the slide number 29, the EBITDA margin in Q4 for HMS host declined by 60 basis points. If I and you explained that the is mainly because of fractioning and change of perimeter. You mentioned, if I understood well, a growth on a comparable basis by 13% for airports and 11% maybe for motorways. Okay. And also, if I understood well, a 13% growth in EBITDA. So it means that when we remove these two effects, more or less the EBITDA margin was flat in the quarter. We need to check this. The second question is on the performance on the first 9 weeks. And I was wondering if for this 4.9% growth in HMS host, you can give us also the growth at the comparable perimeter. And then I understand that we are not discussing about the guidance 2014, but if you can give us some element to determine what can be the evolution on cash generation. So let's forget the EBITDA for a moment, but in terms of CapEx, and what are your expectations in terms of improvement in the working capital management? Thank you.
Well, your recap on the evolution of the EBITDA margin in the last quarter is correct. So, in principle, the main responsible, say, if we exclude the contribution of the U.S. retail, that is not anymore there. So, it's millions that are disappeared in the quarter. The main responsible for the dilution in margin has been the fractured contract. That's fine, that is true. Then, on the other hand, we can consider that as part of the improvement, of the massive improvement in sales has been determined by the additional days, that you know that the company, our company, as many companies in US are recording in weeks. So there is a moment in which you have 1 week more, and it happened in 2013. Of course, in this case, it is not like having an increase of 13% in one period. That you, in this case, you have the operational scale. You have more growth because you have more time. So at the end of the day, that is not being accretive to the margins. But the rest, you're right that the other contracts more or less had continued with the same margins of the of before. So there had not been a decline nor an improvement. In terms of let's say comparable growth in the first 9 weeks, I go by heart, but I think that is a bit higher than the numbers I mentioned. So that means that it's not being generated by a difference in perimeter in US. Just a second, I have. But we don't want to give too many data on weekly sales, because otherwise we don't want to make another say annual report on weeks, because we are happy enough with the quarters, so we don't want to make also the weekly information. But I think that is not determined by difference in perimeter. Is determined by actual performance on the point of sales.
So there is momentum.
The momentum is there. Okay. The momentum is there. Of course, we can expect that when you have bad weather, because in a quarter, the quarter will be affected by the bad weather. So, because especially when you have this very tough time, very tough weather, it is much more difficult than to manage the cost structure. So we have to consider that in terms of sales, so we are very immediately able to recover in the moment where we don't have any more the bad weather. In terms of margins, probably we are struggling a bit more because you cannot adapt your sales force, your workforce, to what is happening on outside in the weather. So that is something that we have to consider, but we are confident that along the year, if the trends are confirmed, we can digest some inefficiency at the beginning because these are important growth. In terms of working capital expectations, I think that this is mainly related, the negative on the working capital has been mainly generated by Italian operations. Because it is in Italy where we have, because of the structure of our contract, we have the larger part of our working capital. So when we absorb sales, as we have negative working capital, we absorb cash. So there is not a cure unless to start improving sales again. So that I think that's why it's so important to try to understand whether there's a slightly better situation that we have seen in the first 9 weeks of the year is going to be confirmed in the next week, so in the next month. Now, the comparable sales are around, say, 7% in April, so it's better than the actual. While in the motorways we had some closure last year, so comparable sales today in this year are with a different perimeter, not because we lost contract, because we were refurbishing contract last year. So in that case, the comparable is more negative, so it's around 3.9% negative. So we go from 0.6 to 3.9 negative for the motorways. That is mainly determined by the bad weather in Canada. When we go up from 6.3% to a bit more than 7% when we look at two airports. Well, wait for another 2 months.
Be patient. Hi, quick question if I may. The 90 shops that you're going to transform over the next 3 years, how much do they represent of the total turnover in Italy that would be? Can give us an idea of out of the 1.something billion in sales in Italy, how much is going to be under refurbishment?
Frankly speaking, I got a little bit by heart, but they represent 30% of the number of point of sales, and I would say between 45-50% of the volume of the Italian network. Motorway, clearly, speaking motorway. Maybe.
So they eat 178 million euros.
Yes. Roughly, yes. Really roughly, because I have not exactly the number in mind.
And when you refurbish redesign these outlets, I guess you need to shut them down and reopen them over 3 months. So, what kind of impact on sales?
No, in reality, it's unusual for us to completely close the store. So normally, when we refurbish the store by zone, by area of the store, so we never close down. I think that the kind of impact we have it's clearly limited, and it's different point of sale to point of sale. So I have not in mind now exactly which the impact is, but.
And last but not least, in terms of investment in these outlets,
How much goes through OpEx rather than CapEx?
Everything is CapEx in this case.
CapEx.
Yeah.
So the 31 million we saw for Italy last year, is that representative of what we should see in the future? Or it's going to go up?
Good guess, but you know, as Alberto said before, you know, we should wait for a couple of months or.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your time. There are no more other questions, so I think thank you for being here, really. Great year and great to be here with you. Thank you.
Thank you.